The Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new cars and pre-owned. Go to BillCurryFord.com and Discount Garage Doors, home of the same-day free service call, free diagnosis. DGDoors.com is the website. They are a great local company serving the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. Happy Monday, Bucks fans. It's the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes on your favorite website. And man, what a weird and wacky and emotional Monday this is. And this has been, I'm one of these fans, I can't speak for everybody, I can only speak for myself, but I'm one of these fans who takes the loss all night long, takes it into the shower, takes it into the toilet, takes it into the car. I am obsessing about it. I'm listening to different takes. I'm reading stuff. Of course, I have the benefit, or you could call it the lack of benefit, that my job or my profession, I don't look at it as a job, but my livelihood is the Bucks 24/7. This is my 11th year obsessing about them around the clock. And these are hard, man. We shouldn't be getting kicked in the groin like this every year, it seems, in September, early in the season, when we least expected in some ways. And you know what? There's not a Bucks fan out there. I think most of you are reasonable. Well, maybe 90% of you are reasonable. I do read the comments at Joe Bucks Fan and actually see the ones that get filtered out. That's really where the fun reading is. Endless streams of hate. Anyway, not a good commentary on society there. But I think the reasonable ones among us, the 90%, we just want to see the team go out and compete hard and lay it all on the field. And if you lose, you lose. You know, we have the talent where that should get us more wins than losses. But to see that garbage is really upsetting. That's what has people so in an uproar. It's like you just can't roll over and get beaten like that so early in the season when you have everything to play for. Everything to play for. That's what's so disturbing. And you got a bye week coming up where, you know what, let it all hang out. Let it rip, and you got a little vacation coming up. I mean, it's not that complicated. All right, enough of that. Before I get to some of the details of the game, and there's so many directions to go, and I'm recording this after Dirk Cutter's news conference intentionally, so I can touch on some of the shenanigans that he rolled out there. I want to make sure that everybody understands that 90% of you, not the same 90%, but 90% of you a month ago would have given your right arm to be 2-2 after four games. Even those of you who, wherever you fall in the Bucks group of fans who like X and don't like Y and this and that, whatever, Jameis, Fitz, the makeup of the team, wherever you fall, I think 90% of you would be lying to yourselves if you said you wouldn't have been ecstatic with 2-2 after four games. Get through Jameis, get through Fitz, get through that brutal schedule, and find your way to 2-2. I was screaming for it here on the podcast that was the benchmark. You got to get to 2-2. Find a way, Dirk. I don't care how you go about doing it. And here we are at 2-2, and everybody's freaking miserable. Now, part of that is because we're conditioned to deal with sucking because we're Bucks fans and we've dealt with this for too long. No playoffs since 2007 and a lot of weird moves and a lot of losses like this. And the other part is the reality, which is the defense is abysmal, and there's really no reason for it. No reason for it other than horrible coaching that's not getting through. And that is the essence of coaching. Don't anyone kid you. The essence of coaching is getting the most out of your players, period. Having them respond to you in the best way they can. That's coaching. I don't care the sport. Now, of course, there's devising the right scheme, but that all goes to getting the most out of the players, and the Bucks are coming nowhere close to getting the most out of their talent on defense. Now, you can tell me Brent Grimes sucks, and you could tell me that he's out of it, and you can tell me, complain about this guy and that guy, and whatever you want to complain, but the coaching staff has told us that Brent Grimes and the front office is that he's worth being paid like a number one cornerback in this league. Number one. And they've told us that, Mike Smith said it himself, Justin Evans is a Pro Bowl caliber talent. And Dirk Koetter has praised Evans, his work ethic towards stepping up his game, and they view him as an elite talent who's an emerging player. Quan Alexander, Pro Bowl, a guy looking for a $10 million a year contract and a good player. Levante David, we know his resume. Gerald McCoy, Jason Pierre-Paul. Those are six guys. I can do some math. That's six out of your 11 starters who the team is telling you are good players, excellent players, above average NFL players, arguably Pro Bowl caliber, Pro Bowl conversation players. That's more than half your defense. And they're in the same system, whatever. The talent is there to be a lot better than they are. That is just the cold reality. And Mike Smith is not doing it. Not doing it. And that's where the frustration lies. That's where my frustration lies. But it goes deeper because we did something on JoeBucksFan.com yesterday at halftime. Halftime of the game. I texted my cohort who was in Chicago, Lee DeCamper, the other Joe. And I said, hey, man, are you good with me calling for Mike Smith's head? Fire Mike Smith because, you know, nothing more had to be said. It was clear. And he said he was cool with that. We have never called, in 11 seasons, never called for the firing of a coach. Not a head coach, not a specific coordinator. We railed against the status quo of the Buccaneers coming out of last season, keeping the same defensive coaching staff. But we just wanted changes in the sense, in any way they came. Not necessarily one guy getting yanked, but maybe bringing in a consultant or additional coaches or changing roles. But Mike Smith, it was a big decision for us to say that, put that out there, not because it was such a unique take or such a bold decision, but you know, we don't take that stuff lightly. And Smith has been dreadful. And the sad thing is that all off season, right when the season ended, the Bucs sit down, they do their self-scouting and reevaluating, and they decide how they're going to approach things when the team returns. And Mark Duffner, linebackers coach, he was on with us on the Ira Kaufman podcast for an extended interview in the summer or late spring. And he explained the process that Mike Smith and the staff decided that they were going to completely break down the defense and sort of rebuild it from scratch schematically. Of course, it would look similar, but they would rebuild it from scratch. And then when the players returned in April, they would charge the players with reteaching it with coaching guidance to get them more invested in the defense. So they were the ones teaching it, veterans and young players alike, and that there would be more discussion and more paying attention and more just more investment, human investment in the defense. And they were pleased with how it was going. And so they've already done all the self-scouting that they're going to do now in this bye week, and that's what makes it so upsetting, because we're relying on the guys who were tasked to fix it in the winter, and now it remains broken, and now they have to fix it in about 10 days. Otherwise, the whole season will be over before the end of October. So for me, that's really the core of why retaining Mike Smith is so troubling. There's no reasonable evidence to think that he can get it done. None. And the league has adjusted to him. We heard the quotes from the Bears. They knew what was coming. The players aren't responding. And we're in a situation with a head coach who goes out of his way, has gone out of his way, to say that he doesn't want to mess with the defense, that he doesn't know better than Mike Smith. Koetter has said multiple times, I might screw things up in there. And I asked Gerald McCoy about Koetter getting involved in the defense with more time since he's not play calling. And Koetter downplayed that, said, oh, yeah, we've seen him in a couple of meetings, but not really, and that's not really the situation. So it's one thing when you have a head coach who you know can, all right, step in to help the coordinator and straighten this thing out, get it on track. But Koetter has already admitted that he can't do it. It's like when they were trying to get a kicker right, and they admitted publicly that, well, you know, they didn't really know how to coach up Roberto Aguayo. They didn't really know how to approach it. They just, you know, sort of got their fingers crossed. And it feels like Cutter has his fingers crossed with the defense because he's going to retain Mike Smith, which is what he said today at One Buck Palace. And I want to get into some of the disturbing parts of that. But first, JoeBucksFan.com readers, podcast listeners, general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a true stick carrier, an intense Bucks fan. He's the GM now at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Bill Curry Ford, they've been serving the Tampa community for 58 years. 58 years, and you've got a couple of great, incredible options as a listener to the podcast. First, let Sean know that you listen or you read Joe Bucks Fan, and you're going to get an additional $500 savings off any price you see online at BillCurryFord.com. And their pricing is transparent. So there's no catch. That's it, and you're going to get $500 off. Second, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles and pre-owned. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com, or if you go to Joe Bucks Fan, when you're there, click on Bill Curry Ford on the right side. It'll take you right to the page that's going to have all that information and all the details on the warranty. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out. You got nothing to lose. BillCurryFord.com. And our friends, thanks as we did in the opening to Discount Garage Doors. Remember the name, Discount Garage Doors. You've seen them advertised around, but they are a local company. Local, born in the Tampa Bay area about 20 years ago. Now they service 18 counties around Florida. Same day free service call and diagnosis. There's no catch with that either. They'll come out, survey your entire situation. They'll let you know what it takes to fix it, or you can look at their great line of new garage doors and they can get it done for you, whatever you want to do. Or you can just take your pricing and think about it and shop around. They are very competitive, ultra competitive with pricing. They'll match if you even find something less expensive. But that same day free service call is no joke. The phone number is 1-866-420-DOOR. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And that's it. DGDoors.com is the website. DGDoors.com. Great coupons there and a lot of great information on all the things you probably don't realize about your garage door. I've learned a lot on their website, DGDoors.com. Now, Cutter was talking today and he was asked about firing Mike Smith. Actually, I take that back. He was asked about Mike Smith, and he wanted to address the firing. And because he, you know, I'm sure he saw it out there on the websites and our website and all that kind of stuff. And he said, quote, I'll read this quote. For those people who think snapping your fingers and changing your coordinator a quarter of the way through the season, okay, what would you do after that? Cutter said. If we fired Mike Smith, what would the next move be? All right. Which for me was like, what the heck are you talking about, coach? That, first of all, it's not an endorsement. That's not saying we're not firing Mike Smith. He's a great football man. He's a great defensive mind. We're going to straighten this crap out, whether anybody likes it or not, and we'll make as many changes as we have to get it done. That's not what he said. That's not an endorsement, coach. And you know what? What's next? What does that mean? If Todd Monken sucks, what are you going to do? Leave him in there? Because what next? No, you'll take the job back. You'll take it back yourself. There are other, Mark Duffner, the linebackers coach, he's been a defensive coordinator in this league. He knows the defense. He's coached with Mike Smith before. He's coached with you. He knows the players. He can make the calls, give it a different perspective. On game day, the guy's 60-something years old. He's a disciple of Woody Hayes, and he's been around forever. He can do it. He commands respect. And like I wrote on the website, there's no way in the world that after what happened with Jeff Tedford, when he went down and they were stuck with Marcus Arroyo, who was incompetent back in 2014, if you remember the debacle of the offensive coordinator there, there's no way the Glazers would not allow this team, or Jason Light, who was here for that time, to have a backup plan, a coordinator. God forbid, let's say Mike Smith gets into a car crash and can't call the defense and participate for 2 weeks. What, the team's not going to work? We're going to expect him to fall apart? What about next man up with coaching, coach? Now, Cutter was trying to say that the defensive failures are all over the place in every corner, and Mike Smith doesn't make tackles and miss tackles and blow coverages and whatnot. But to me, coach was just cheapening the essence of coaching. Teams not responding to Mike Smith. Case closed. Not responding. And I'm not going to go into all the ugly statistics of Mike Smith's defense and numbers and yardage and all that gobbledygook crap that is sort of meaningless for the right now. The realities that you need to know, I'm not going to tell you what you need to know, but I think the most important realities are, it sounded like my dad for a minute, it's cracked me up. The realities are, it was broken last year, Mike Smith set out to fix it with a detailed plan, and it's blown up in his face through four games. It's the bye week. This is the time to make a change. Cutter wanted to tell everybody that there's no personalities here. It's a business decision. His relationship with Smith has nothing to do with anything. Okay. Well, then you're deciding that this guy can do it. And he can't. And Cutter's the one ultimately responsible. So he's really putting his neck out here. Now, I want to caution everybody. Everything Cutter said today, just like I say the things we report on Joe Bucks Fan, not a report, but opinions that we provide on Joe Bucks Fan, it's all fluid. Right? In 2 weeks, I have no problem with Cutter saying, you know what? Mike Smith couldn't get it done. He's gone. We got a plan. We got this guy stepping up. I got Chuck Pagano coming in here for the last 2 months of the season. He was here during training camp, and he knows the team a little bit, and he's going to help us out for 2 months. I have no problem with any of that. Cutter is more than welcome to change his mind. But I think right now, Cutter's really overlooking the impact, the positive impact that this change could have. Because sometimes you just need change. And Mike Smith, he needs more than change right now. He's swinging and missing left and right. And there's not a lot of respect for him among the players. I'm just going to come out and say it. And I have a lot of reasons for saying that. But one thing that has nothing tied with backroom information that I'm able to get. Go back and listen to every quote from every defensive player on the Bucks, going back to the start of minicamp back in April, all the way through last week. The amount of references to Mike Smith are the fewest I've ever heard for a coordinator. And that says a lot. There's no reference or deference to Mike Smith. It's very rare. And it wasn't always like that. And that says a lot. It really, really does on a lot of levels, in addition to everything else. So just file that away. And, you know, I challenge anybody, go back and listen to and find for people talking about Coach Smith, Coach Smith, Coach Smith. You're not going to find it. And that's not typical. That is really not typical. It's a sign. And there are other signs as well. Look, I hope Mike Smith pulls out of this. Like I said, I think there's a 10 or 15% chance that, hey, it works. No problem. Yeah, they get it right. And, you know, there's luck involved in football. There's guys getting back. There's Vita Vea getting healthy, which I think is a huge positive out of that game. He played half the snaps. If you go look at the film, there's a couple of nice manhandling opportunities that he took advantage of in there in a huge way. The guy hustles. And no, it's not perfect. And, you know, and it was pretty clear that they didn't want to run his way. But there are positives out of that game from him. And he's certainly a lot better than Will Golston. I'll say that right now all the way as a defensive tackle. And I'm glad he got that many snaps in. And he should be coming back confident and, you know, more healthy than he was with those 2 weeks should help him even more. And I'm excited for what Vea can bring. And there's good things that could happen on the defense. But, man, they are sort of in a fingers-crossed kind of mentality right now, which is not good. All right, out of the Bears game, two things I got to bring up. And I don't like to go into all the X's and O's. I certainly don't expect that you all want to hear me blabbering about that. I don't want to hear myself blubbering in a game like this that, you know, to try to put more importance on little things than they really deserve. But, you know, I was going to bitch about Ronald Jones. The first carry you give the guy, the first carry is in the red zone? Red zone? After all the stuff you said that he kind of wasn't ready. And, man, and he missed a massive hole. Massive hole. He broke to the second level, and he got to the second level, and he had daylight to the left. We've seen Peyton Barber run that play in that same spot before. And run it well and almost get to the end zone. He just lowered his head and initiated contact. And I get that was his first NFL carry and there's nerves. But if that's the case, or if that's possible, or if that's acceptable, why give it to him there? You know, that was a critical spot in that game. 14-0. You're in the red zone. You're trailing. You can change the whole tone of the game. And then they throw him the ball. Come on, man. We already know he can't catch. Not the best use of Mr. Jones right there, who, I wrote something on Joe Bucks Fan, sort of breaking down his day. I'm glad he got his feet wet too, like Vea, and it's not fair to judge a rookie like that on week one. But you know what? There are a lot of rookies who are doing a lot of good things running that football around the NFL, and it is supposed to be the easiest position in the league to walk in and be successful at. Use your instincts and, everybody, former players to coaches to, a lot of people recognize that it's an easy position to walk in and be successful. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a quick turnaround from Jones. If he's ready to play, if he's going to get the carries, he's got to be successful and look better than he had, at least on that front. Now, Jameis. What about Jameis? What kind of slack does Jameis deserve for that performance? Well, I'm just going to look at it as a bird's eye view. First, he's rusty as well, walking into a train wreck of a game, except in some ways that was a good situation for him because the Bears are playing a softer defense. Jameis could relax a little bit more in the sense that, he knew they weren't coming after him and he knew that they were going to be in softer coverage and he could relax and pick his spots and stay patient, even though, yes, of course, there was pass rush at times, which he did a nice job avoiding. But it wasn't Jameis's best performance. He didn't march the ball down the field and score points. Because let's face it, if he started that game, y'all would have expected him to perform well. But he deserves a complete game of getting his feet back under him in this weird suspension situation. I think that was mission accomplished. I like the way Dirk Cutter handled the Jameis situation. Fitz deserved one more shot after what he produced in the first three games. And you know what? As soon as Fitz wasn't going to be the miracle worker, they yanked him. And that was the right thing to do. It was the fair thing to Fitz. It was great for Jameis to get his feet wet, get the speed back in his head, give him some film of himself to look at for this season, not just last year and all that stuff. So that was a positive thing. And look, Jameis has to come in now with 12 games to go and be a winning quarterback. We all know that this offense can put up major league points. And for the most part, outside of O.J. Howard's injury, where they're saying his knee, he might lose one game. And, let's call it two, whatever it is. Jameis has a load of weapons, polished weapons, proven weapons, an O-line that's shown it can pass block outside of the Bears game. Overall, Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's a track record. Fitz put up the numbers. Jameis has to produce in this offense. It's got to be the best season that he's had, and he's healthy. And if he can't produce his best season with this offense, and I understand there's balance with the defense has to allow the Bucs offense to be multidimensional, which will make it more dangerous. And I understand that it all works together, but Jameis has got to be the guy here. He's just got to come in and be the guy. That's it. Bye week, healthy. The offense is healthy. O-line's got some guys that can pass block. There's a lot of confidence in Todd Monken and Dirk Cutter within the offense. We've seen it get done. You got to produce, man. Got to produce. There's just no more excuses for everything associated with this regime. So I look forward to it. I think Jameis can do this. I think he can average a lot of points. The defense, I don't know. But I'd like to see Jameis exert himself as a leader, too. A lot of people didn't like what I wrote, that Jameis didn't offer a spark. Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. Well, you know what? That's reality. The Buccaneers in that locker room last week, Jameis, yeah, he's raised the energy level here. Man, it's so good to have him back. He's the guy. He is picking us all up. His presence is a difference maker. Well, look what happened. It's not Jameis's fault. But part of his job is to raise the play of those around him. And we need to see it. He's got a perfect situation in many ways to come back in Atlanta against a team that is brutalized in its defensive backs. Perfect weather conditions for his thoroughbreds to be out there running and racing, and DeSean Jackson and all the things that they can do with that offense. And Jameis has played well in Atlanta. And he's got family there. It's comfortable. Comfortable surroundings. Hey, this is the time for Jameis to shine. Come home for Cleveland. There's no reason why he can't start here with two good games, get himself on track, get the team back on track. 3-3, I think the fans would calm down. 4-2. Hey, we're all back partying again, and it's right in the grasp for the Bucs. These are two losing teams that the Bucs will be facing coming up. That's guaranteed. Two losing teams. So I'm excited. I'm not hanging my head. I don't get the whole Mike Dirk Smith, Mike Cutter thing. Yeah, I understand I screwed the names up there. I did that on purpose. And you know what, though? It doesn't mean it's not going to work. Doesn't mean we have to all start crying in our beers. So what else out of that game? Perhaps the most disturbing thing on the defensive front, and that's a tough thing to pinpoint. The most disturbing thing for me is the lack of the pass rush. Three quarterback hits on Trubisky. The Bucs chose not to blitz for some reason. They wanted to gamble on their four big dogs against a Bears O-line that isn't special, and those guys failed. Those guys failed. And that's bad. Brenton Buckner was supposed to be an X factor. JPP is a talent. Gerald McCoy is a talent, healthy to the best of our knowledge. Vinny Curry, Super Bowl Vinny, we all know the story. They failed. And I'm hoping that that's just some sort of fatigue off Monday night, some sort of mental issue. Because if it's talent, if you're failing talent-wise straight up against the Bears, and now teams know you have to blitz, and now somehow Mike Smith has to adjust, and your defense is even more one-dimensional, it's just a bad situation that's brimming there, brewing, whatever you want to call it. That was really upsetting. Going back and watching again, you start to realize how bad the pass rush is. Even though JPP's breaking through here and there, not a good thing. But here we are, Bucs fans, and I hope billboard campaign like we had for Shiano doesn't start up to fire Mike Smith. I think that's cheesy. That's just me. I just think it's cheesy. They made their decision. They made their beds. They're going to lie in it. And, I don't think the whole billboard campaign and the mass freak out until they're losing, really losing badly, it makes any difference. I just don't like it. I think it's a bad look. And I want to see an offense that comes back humming, because I thought the beginning of the year, I never expected this defense to be good. I thought maybe they could get up to 20th in the league, and that would 2017th or so, that would be enough with the weapons here. And I still believe that, and I still believe they could do that, that this team could somehow find a way to play like the 20th best defense, and the offense can put up four touchdowns a game or three touchdowns and a couple of field goals. That is within their grasp, and the Glazers know it. I know it. I think most fans believe it, and that's why Dirk Cutter has no choice here. You went 2-0, you're 2-2. You got to find a way to a winning record. You got to find a way. Otherwise, what are we doing here? We're just sort of going in circles, hoping, praying. The Bucs got to win. We knew this going in. We got to the right place. I'm going to have a cold one tonight saying, all right, we're 2-2. I'm going to keep telling myself that, because it's an accomplishment with the schedule and the situation that happened. It's ugly. Feel it. Let it burn, but let it go. This team can go 4-2. This team can, I think they can get to 6-4. I think they can grind their way and get better and make it a very interesting end of the season here. I really do. I'm optimistic, and I'm not going to let you take that away from me. Not at this bye week. The glass is half full over here at Joe Bucs Fan World headquarters, and maybe that makes no sense from a guy who started the podcast by saying they got to fire the defensive coordinator because he can't fix it, and later talked about how the head coach doesn't think he has any other option other than this guy who can't fix it. But still, football's a funny game. I still believe that a lot of good things can happen this season, and things in football seasons have a way of changing. And they're not freaking 0-4 or 1-3. So that's where I started optimistic. I'm going to end optimistic. Go back, watch the game, study your Bucks. It's always a good thing. I always recommend people go back, watch it, get NFL Game Pass, look at some film if you've never done it before. Take 10 minutes, just, you know, look at some plays, burn through the offensive plays, however you want to do it. It's a great opportunity that we have now as football fans that we didn't have 10 years ago to really look at film and dig a little deeper and study a little deeper and become more knowledgeable. It's a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend it. We're going to keep grinding here on JoeBucksFan.com. We never let up trying to do the best we can for you, which is really doing the best I can for ourselves as Bucks fans, because we really just write about what we're interested in and what we think is important to know about the team. And thanks to all of you who actually made September our highest traffic month ever in the history of Joe Bucks Fan, which is very hard to do. So we really appreciate that support. The podcast, love the support from Bill Curry Ford. Remember, BillCurryFord.com. And Discount Garage Doors, DGDoors.com. Thanks to them. Same day free service call. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Guys, calm down. Take a deep breath. It's ugly, but it's not as ugly as you think. I promise you that. And I'll talk to you on Monday.